inhabiting one common home, that we are going through what the theologian de Chardin called the planetization of humankind. This is not a distant ideal. This is the reality. There is one environment, there is one climate system, and we, despite our arrogance, the idea that through technological progress we have become the masters of the universe, we are incredibly vulnerable as a species living on an Earth which is no longer able to sustain our wasteful, excessive, consumerist culture, which is no longer able to accept our materialistic civilization and its disregard for nature. I mention all of these forces not to depress your listeners, but to actually say that we live in an exceptional and, I would say, exciting period of human history, where despite all the bad news that we see, despite all the divisions and wars and conflicts, we are also witnessing the birth of a new world. And I don't use the word new world lightly. When you think about everything from artificial intelligence to the unprecedented progress that we've achieved in prolonging human life, in spreading information and education and literacy and ideals of human rights and gender equality and an end to racism and all of these other ideas that we take for granted today are very, very recent ideas historically against thousands of years of human evolution. And the idea, once again, that we live in a world civilization may have seemed as a kind of prophetic or even poetic idea just a couple of generations ago. But today, once again, it is an inescapable reality. The only question is whether the peoples and leaders of the world will accept and embrace that reality willingly through an act of volition, with common purpose, with a common vision, so that we can come out of this turbulent period and reach a new period of unprecedented peace and prosperity, or whether we will have to suffer unimaginable catastrophes before we are forced to accept that reality. And just to wrap up my remarks, this is why I think that the idea of global justice, the idea of a stronger, more vigorous United Nations, global institutions that can really address global problems, and also a kind of new consciousness among all the nations that we need beyond our patriotism and loyalty to our own peoples, a wider world-embracing vision that understands the inextricable oneness of all humankind, that this is the crossroads that we are at now in history, and we, all of us, have a role to play in choosing the right direction, the direction of embracing the oneness and wholeness of humankind, rather than falling victim to these divisive ideologies and worldviews.
Beautiful, wonderful, man, with wise and deep words. You know, we're so honored and blessed to have the descendant of King Cyrus and King Darius, the first ones that wrote human rights in stone. And it's just an honor and a blessing to receive the knowledge that you have, the experience that you have. And it's just a great, great day and age for humanity. You're a hero of humanity. And for the last part, we would like to ask you, what's the best website and YouTube channel to get more information and insight from your wonderful words.
Well, thank you for your kind words, first of all. I don't see myself personally as a hero, because I've really seen how much suffering there is in the world, and I feel that anything that I do is just a drop in the bucket. So I really think that it takes all of us to join forces and accept responsibility. And each and every one of us is capable of doing great, great good on a daily basis and throughout our life. And secondly, in terms of YouTube or website, I unfortunately don't have anything specific to share with you, except to say that, you know, there are many different sources of inspiration that one can find. And by inspiration, I speak about spiritual traditions. We have the richness of humankind is exemplified through our capacity for transcendence, for finding that in our spiritual essence, we are all one and the same. I was brought up as a member of the Baha'i faith in Iran, which is persecuted today. And you refer to Cyrus the Great, who, as you eloquently put it, in 450 BC, in a cylinder made out of clay, proclaimed religious freedom. And today, sadly, in Iran, we see violence, hateful persecution on grounds of religious belief, especially against the Baha'i community. But one of the beliefs that I was brought up with is once again that the oneness of humankind is not just an ideal, but it is a reality. And you can see that that has shaped my thinking and what I shared with you just a few moments ago. But also that we are going through an extraordinary period in our historical evolution as humankind. And if we go back to the religions of the past and the spiritual beliefs and visions across the world, whether it is indigenous peoples in the Americas, whether it is Islam, Christianity, Judaism, Hinduism, Buddhism, Zoroastrianism, and so on and so forth, all of these traditions speak about a day when the peoples of the world would come together. They speak about the day when, what is it in the Bible, we shall beat our swords into plowshares and our spears into pruning hooks. So this vision of, you know, the lion and the lamb lying together, this is what's happening today in the world. Mm-hmm. All the peoples of the world are coming together. And of course, it's very chaotic because we are not accustomed to living in such a world. All of the assumptions and institutions and traditions that we've had are being upset, and we are in a period of disequilibrium. So in the midst of this confusion, it's easy to retreat very often into ignorant, hateful, exclusionary identities, to, in a sense, run back to our mother's womb because we're afraid of being a responsible adult in a complicated world. Mm-hmm. But we all know that you cannot run back to your mother's womb. That is an illusion. It's impossible. You can only move forward. Mm-hmm. So all this to say that this is why I have this sense of optimism that we are experiencing these difficulties only because we don't understand what a magnificent historical transition we're going through as we reach a world which was unimaginable by our forefathers. And before I leave you, I can just share with you maybe one example of my own wonderful father. who is 96 years old this year.
Wow.
And he was born in Iran in 1928. And he was brought up without electricity. He studied by candlelight. He was brought up without running water. They drew water from the well. And in 1928 in Iran, half of his brothers and sisters died in their infancy because the infant mortality rate was 50%. A mother would lose half of her children. It was normal because of dysentery, cholera, very simple diseases. So today, that same 96-year-old man talks to his grandchildren on Zoom. And we take it for granted. We take it for granted. So what, I just give that as an example of how radically the world has changed. You know, the Industrial Revolution in Europe, which forever changed human history, because prior to the Industrial Revolution, you had feudalism, people plowing the land under a feudal lord, subsistence agriculture, producing just enough to feed your family. In medieval Europe, life expectancy was 30 years of age. 30 years of age life expectancy. And the fear of disease and poverty and ignorance and illiteracy, life was absolutely horrid when you think about it. And then the Industrial Revolution came, and through the invention of steam power and industry and a host of other technologies, over almost 150 to 200 years, Europe was forever transformed, and with it the rest of the world, because Europe also colonized the rest of the world and brought with it its technology and ideologies. So why am I saying this? Because, getting back to the story of my father, how old is the technological revolution? Maybe 30 years old, if we look at the introduction of the World Wide Web, the internet, things such as Zoom are, what, maybe two decades old at best? So all of a sudden, we are thrust in just 20 or 30 years, not 200 or 300 years, into a radically different world where the pace of change is such that we can barely keep up. So this gives us an opportunity to create a future that our ancestors would have scarcely imagined possible. But we cannot do it without a moral and spiritual compass. Because we have learned in history that technology, whether it is a cause of good or evil, is solely a reflection of our own moral choices. So we need to realize that each of us has to bring this moral spiritual consciousness into society, and not just by paying lip service to it, but by changing the way we treat each other, by changing the choices that we make in our lives, in our communities and neighborhoods and societies at large, so that we can put an end to this incredibly, if I can say, idiotic behavior. When you look at a culture of greed, consumerism, hateful, divisive ideologies, this is idiotic. It's idiotic because it does not correspond to reality, and it is belittling the extraordinary capacities that we have to do good in the world and to achieve progress.
Well, that's super awesome, wise words, full of hope and positivity. We really thank you and appreciate your time. And we also thank our listeners, especially from Simon Fraser University and the students all over the world that are looking for this positive new way of changing the world and making it into a more blessed place the way it should be for the next seven generations, for the presence and just the honoring of our ancestors. So we thank you, and we're going to have to say bye for now. And we're looking.
Thank you very much.
And we're looking forward to hearing from you again.
It will be a pleasure. Thank you very much to you and the listeners at SFU and across the world.
Yes, thank you. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
All right. That was our brother, Dr. Akvan, the international law lawyer. And we're going to continue on with our program, and we'll be right back.
On average, every 6 days, a woman in Canada is killed by her intimate partner. The women in our communities deserve to feel safe from both emotional and physical abuse. They deserve men who control their anger. Most importantly, they deserve to know the people they love most will never hurt them. Men like me stand up to create a safer world for the women in our lives. And we're looking to men like you, the men who make up our communities, to join us. You can play an active part to end violence. Visit www.whiteribbon.ca.
All right, we're back, and we're going to be playing the pick of the week of Shkwait Shakhlach, and we're going to be playing his song from Crystal Rock, Miles and Miles, and Funk Cartel. And and their song is called Enjoy the Silence.
I heard a little bit there. Can you hear me?
I can hear you a little bit.
It's cutting out. It's cutting out quite a bit right now.
Okay. Well, stay tuned, everyone. This is Crystal Rock.
I'll hang in there.
Yeah, Crystal Rock and Miles and Miles and Funk Cartel. Enjoy the silence. Enjoy, everyone.
Words like violence break the silence. Come crashing in into my little world. Painful to me, pierce right through me. Can't you understand, oh my little girl? All ever wanted, all ever needed is here in my arms. Words are very unnecessary. Words are trivial, pleasures remain, so does the pain. Words are meaningless, unforgettable. All ever wanted, all ever needed is here in my arms. Words are very unnecessary, they can only do
back. That was Crystal Rock and Miles and Miles and Funk Cartel and their song called Enjoy the Silence. And we have with us Shkwait Shakhlach. He's my brother from Gwaishkna, For our listeners out there that don't know him, he's my biological brother, but he's a survivor of Guillain-Barré syndrome, lymphoma, cancer, the big floods of a few years ago, and the big forest fires of a few years ago. So very extreme survivalist, a big inspiration to myself and many others that know his story. And welcome, Shkwaich. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing as well as can be.
Yeah.
Still breathing.
Yeah, I enjoyed your song, Enjoy the Silence. Very inspiring. So we have our subject today, and it's on seasons, and we'd love to hear your words on seasons.
My first thought was the spices that we add to our food. And then I thought, and it could mean the seasons we have globally. You know, that applies. But to us Canadians, that's a daily event. We go to sleep, it's winter. We get up, it's spring. And from noon on, it's summer. And then from evening, it's fall. Crazy Canadian weather.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you think of it, you know, as life, I think, you know, spring to me kind of represents new beginnings, you know, birth. And summer, you know, kind of represents growth. You know, we gotta grow and nurture ourselves. And fall, we, you know, starting to reap the benefits of our growth. And winter, you know, is usually the endings and all that. But, you know, that's kind of, that's, you know, almost sounds pessimistic. We're going into our winter season. You know, I think, I like to think, you know, as most people throughout the world, you know, Indians, all the groups that preceded us, I think winter, you know, shouldn't represent endings. It should represent the time of gathering. You know, we're in the winter. Well, for those of us who do have winter, you know, we're forced to gather together in our big lawn houses, you know, our big homes, tents, and all that. And that's where we have storytelling, passing on of the knowledge.
Mm.
So, you know, I try not to think of the more pessimistic meaning of life for winter.
Mm.
I like to think of it as time to learn.
Mm.
Time to pass what we know on, or learn from those who have been here a little longer than us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, but at the same time, you know, we gotta remember that we're not gonna live forever.
Mm-hmm.
For those of us just coming into the world, you know, we just got to learn to take risks, grab opportunities, you know, while we're young.
Mm.
You know, and then you know, we got to act on the stuff we've learned from those before us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we could be like what was that, the fables, the grasshopper and the ant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we could just kick back and relax and not prepare for the future, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We gotta figure out what we're gonna do while we're young, like our education, school years. Then when we get into our summer, you know, we're learning to apply what we've learned.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, and hopefully we've learned enough and applied good habits, we'll start to reap the benefits in our fall.
Mm.
You know, and hopefully it's good benefits, you know, not failures. You know, if we didn't apply it right or hesitated on this or that. And then I think, you know, in the winter, like I said, it's a time to pass on the knowledge or learn knowledge, you know, if it's not quite our time yet.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think of seasons. Well, you know, as well as adding flavor to our foods.
Beautiful and wonderful. Lots of very wise words. We really appreciate you joining us and, you know, sharing your enthusiasm for music and just your positive look on life. And it's all important because, you know, you've come through so much big traumas and tribulations and survived, and just learning what makes you tick, you know, it's inspirational and it can help us to do the same. So lots of appreciation for you to join us and share with us.
Yeah, I'm happy to be hopefully an influence on others, a good influence, not a bad influence.
Yeah. Okay, well, we're going to have to say bye for now, and thank you for joining us, and we're looking forward to hearing from you again next week.
Okay, bye for now.
Okay, bye for now. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was my brother Shkwait Shakhlach from Gwaishkina, BC. And we're going to wrap up with some Ernesto Schnack and his song called Neurotology. And a big shout out to Magnus and Robin and Jesse and Carnivar and the volunteers up here that keep us going and running, and just a lot of appreciation to them. So here's Ernesto Schnack and his song Neurotology. Enjoy, everyone. People, thank you for joining us all. We're gonna have to say bye for now.
We're gonna have to say goodbye for now, and we'll see you next week and Thursday at 3 to 4.
Yes, and thank you, President Celia, for joining us.
Thank everyone for joining all of us. Yes, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye for now, everyone.
Bye for now, everyone.
Thank you for listening.